Send your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another fun-filled, exciting episode of the Tiny Shutter Podcast, the podcast that is iPhone photography, all the time, by iPhone photographers, for iPhone photographers. My name is Keith Tharp.
I'm Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And Mark is away on assignment this week. So let's get ourselves directly into the news. And for our news this week, we have two huge fluff pieces. The first fluff piece, and you know how much we love rumors on the Tiny Shutter podcast, the first fluff piece is on more iPhone 5S rumors. And they start out with the June release date or the early summer release date. And then we also have two new ones. One of them was so deftly prognosticated by our own Matt Hoffman, and that is that the new iPhone 5S will be having or will be equipped with fingerprint sensor technology. This meaning that you can't unlock your phone without the correct fingerprints, I guess. So yeah, I guess...
That's going to be awesome. That'll make the iPhone once again seem futuristic.
Well, this so when I grab something off the stove and it melts my fingerprints,
screwed,
big time.
Screwed. Yeah, you won't be able to update your status. But this will be nice. You'll be able to leave your phone on the bar while you run to take a leak, and somebody else won't be able to update your Facebook status. Has that ever happened to you?
No.
Nope. But well,
it happened to me once. And only once. Yeah, I went to the bathroom, left my phone on the table. I was out with about 7 or 8 other friends and didn't think anything of it until I got home. And this is way back when Facebook, if you didn't shut it off, Facebook would just ring the crap out of your email box with notifications.
So I had
like 30 emails in my inbox replying to my status update that said, I love sheep.
See, the key thing here, Keith, is you mentioned having friends. So that's why it's never going to happen to me.
That's why you haven't had that issue. So the neat thing about this particular fingerprint sensor technology rumor is that, as I mentioned before, Matt had brought this up on the show previously, as it would link to the third rumor, which is NFC. And that once fingerprint technology or fingerprint sensor technology was available, it would make it easier to then transfer into NFC, because it would make your phone that much more secure, so people would feel more comfortable with paying with their iPhone via NFC if that security was available, right, Matt?
That is correct, yes.
And so I want to know, you know, this is on Mac Rumors, and this just came up recently on Mac Rumors. How did you know so far in the future? Like, do you have a link that we don't know about?
I think I did, and I'll have to do some digging to find it. I really honestly don't remember where
no,
I saw that.
No. I guess you mistook it. I meant, like, do you have, like, an inside link? Like, do you know somebody?
Oh, gotcha.
That's all right. It's not funny anymore, Matt.
No, it's not.
Thanks for breaking that.
No problem.
All right. So on to our next extremely important piece of news. Apparently, way back in the old days, has anybody else here... have the original iPhone?
Nope.
No. I had the original iPhone, and I loved it, actually. It was changed my life. I loved the iPhone. And but before the iPhone even came out, obviously, there were, you know, hints and rumors and so forth. Nowhere near as the way they are now. But apparently, it's a slow news week all around, and Cult of Mac decided to report on the fact that Shaquille O'Neal actually begged Steve Jobs for a early release of the iPhone before it came out, and Steve Jobs told him to hit the road. He would not give him one. So apparently Shaq knew a guy that knew a guy that knew a guy, and or that knew Steve Jobs, and literally begged for it, and Steve said no, and that's the end of the story. Like, I don't know why that's news, but...
Well, I think it's just making light of, you know, the fact that somebody like Shaq can't get whatever he wants all the time.
That's sad. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back. Through the magic of editing, you probably don't even realize we were gone. We accidentally lost Joe over the feed, but we have him back now, and we're ready to move on. And I'm going to start off our moving on process with thanking our new sponsors, Camera Course for iPhone. Why spend $200 on a photography course when you can have a complete photography course with 28 video tutorials discussing every aspect of photography, and specifically iPhone photography, taught by a professional photographer in the form of an app right on your phone for only $3.99. It's made specifically for the iPhone. This is a perfect gift for someone, or it's a perfect gift for yourself if you're just starting out in photography and specifically iPhone photography. Head over to tinyshutter.com where you can find the link on our sidebar, or you can just head over to cameracourseapp.com. Did I get that right? CameraCourse.com, not CameraCourseApp.com.
No, it's CameraCourseApp.com.
Okay. Thank you, Joe, for helping me out there. Anyway, thank you very much to our brand new sponsors, Camera Course for iPhone. You can find those links where we mentioned. And this is actually pretty cool because if you are a fan of the Facebook page, you'll know that we've just had some recent discussion over there about the opportunities for courses and learning in iPhone photography and photography in general. And we had a long discussion over on the Facebook page just the other day about the different options for getting into iPhone photography and learning, and especially for beginners. And this is generally where the learning is needed most, for beginners wanting to get a hold of the basics and whatnot. And I know you jumped into that conversation quite a bit, Joe. So
yeah,
let's chat about it.
Yeah, a gentleman named John had had posted some questions on the Tiny Shutter page on Facebook, and you know, so we got into the discussion. He's brand new to iPhone photography and is not much of a photographer. Most of us, you know, all three of us here, including Mark, are photographers. And so sometimes we forget that, you know, there are people just getting into photography through their iPhones. And a lot of things that we talk about and say can go over people's heads. So, you know, having a course on how to use your camera and or the, even the different types of words that we use are not useful unless you know what they are.
That's so, a great point. A lot of this we actually take for granted, like aperture and depth of field. Yep. And, you know, I mean, even the rule of thirds and stuff like that. We can actually come off as possibly being over the head of some people without even realizing it ourselves. And you know, now that you're saying it, I'm like, geez, I didn't even really think about it. I just take it as a given that everybody understands what we're talking about. So for those of you that don't, I apologize, but yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, having a course like this, I am definitely, even though I know I'm going to go ahead and download it myself and go through it and see what it has, you know, has to say, and, you know, and really delve into it, because, you know, that'll help me when I'm talking to other people who do not know as much as I do, you know, seeing what they have to offer in knowledge and being able to, you know, do that with my friends. And, you know, so there were questions, you know, on, okay, where do you learn this stuff? And
where's a good place to get information? A bunch of the places that came out were the appwhisperer.com.
Yep.
And Connect by DP Review we actually mentioned that, geez, last year on the show. It was one of our news items that DP Review had a great new site that's specifically designed for mobile photography.
Yeah. And if you're looking at getting into like regular photography, one of the video podcasts that I recommended was from the Photography Guild, where it takes you through different, like what's shutter speed. And then, you know, the lady talks about shutter speed, you know, and then has you do a project at the end. What's aperture? And then how to, you know, same thing, and goes through all these different camera type courses and learning how to use your camera. And you don't need a professional camera. You can do a point and shoot camera. Yeah, I even say you could probably even do your iPhone.
I would say you probably could, as long as you understand the limitations. We appreciate exactly. the fact that you don't have, I mean, this has obviously come up for discussion a million times, but oh my God, Courtney Lee just had a massive dunk. We've discussed this many a times. You don't have any kind of control over the shutter speed or ISO, and obviously it's a fixed aperture on the iPhone, so you don't have any control over that either. But you can always get the fundamentals. You can learn about the rule of thirds. You can learn about composition basics, and you can learn about lighting. And so this app's great. It goes through and it gives you some idea. It gives you some understanding of how to tap on the screen and how to adjust your exposure and how to, you know, it also mentions going in and how to use the new Panorama app.
I was going to say, if you want to, you know, see what we talked about, go to the Tiny Shutter on Facebook and you will see it. You will see the post and see our conversation. If you have any ideas, you may have a better idea than we do, put it in there. We want to hear you guys.
Awesome. Thanks for that.
Well, this particular gentleman did ask us for a lot of suggestions where he could go online or find something in print that he could read, you know, to learn more about photography and iPhone photography. And I think we did a good job of answering his question. But, you know, we definitely like to hear from our listeners. And if anyone has questions for us, you know, definitely posting them on our Facebook page or Twitter or anything. If you have a specific question about an app or a technique, you know, we are good sources of information ourselves, the four of us. You know, we're out there taking pictures with our phones and with our cameras and using the apps on a pretty regular basis. So a lot of times, if you have a specific question, I think we'd be able to answer it. And if we can't, we will find the answer and let you know.
And if we're pretty good at it, then we know that our listeners are really good at it. Right. Because they will tell us.
All right. Another piece I wanted to get to real quick. I have a, I know you guys know that I've done some stuff over at theappwhisperer.com. I have taken a break from that, but I will be getting back to it. And the video that I am going to make next for theappwhisperer.com deals with Photoshop Touch. And I know we've talked about Photoshop Touch before. It is a $5 app, and it is a fairly involved app. So if really getting deep into your photos isn't something that you want to do, then you might not be interested in spending the $5. But if you have it, or if you're interested in it, here's a really quick tip for you that I use and I enjoy using to put a good looking natural vignette that's very adjustable and natural looking. And that is, you can go in, duplicate your background layer. So now you have two layers, and then you change the blending mode on the top layer to overlay. No, I'm sorry. Take that back. Not overlay. Multiply. This will darken the image considerably. Then you take and you draw a round selection with the selection tool. You have a you have an elliptical selection tool in your tool palette over there. Draw an elliptical selection. Then you go up into the selection menu and you feather that out as much as you possibly can. I think it lets you do it up to, I don't know, 50% or 50 pixels or something like that. But you do it as much as you can. The key is to make this particular ellipse selection fairly small and then feather it. And then you can transform the selection to make it wider. And what this will do is give you a little bit more of an enhancement on that feathering, make it a little more feathered. And then you're going to go back into your selection palette and you are going to clear the selection part. So now you're going to have, it's going to remove that part of that layer so that you're going to reveal what was below. So now it's going to be, you're going to have that kind of lightness behind it, but now it's going to be a very, very harsh vignette. And then what you're going to do is just knock down the opacity on that top layer and you can play with it to see how it looks. And you can also obviously add a blurring filter on it to give it even that much more of a neat kind of vignette-y, blurry kind of look. Very, very customizable. There's actually another thing you can do with this exact same thing, is you take another step and you blur that and then you expand that top layer just a little bit. So now it's not even going to line up with the one below and you get this kind of real dreamy drawing in effect right down into the center app. I mean, of the photo. And actually, it could be to whatever part of the photo. This doesn't. That's the neat thing about this is it doesn't have to be to the center. You can make this vignette kind of go off to the left or off to the right or wherever you want it to. So, kind of cool tip. It might have been a little bit too detailed during that description. So what you can do is keep your eyes open on the appwhisperer.com, or actually keep your eyes open on Tiny Shutter on Facebook, because I'll post when the video is ready there. That's it.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's a solid tip. And what type of photos are you typically using that technique on, like portraits or any photo?
Yeah, this is a tip that I've carried over actually from my desktop version of Photoshop, and it's something that I will use on like a close-up flower shot or a portrait shot, something that you really want to drill the user right into your subject. You know what I mean? And you're really okay with not necessarily going over the top, but you're really okay with people saying this has been manipulated. You know what I mean? Especially if you're going to do the one particular technique that I mentioned at the end so now you've done your vignette and you've done the blurring and all that kind of stuff. And then if you take that top layer and you just enlarge it just a little bit, like, you know, 101%. So it's just a little bit smaller. You kind of get this weird kind of zoomy in kind of effect. And it looks really cool.
Yeah, that is killer. I'm definitely going to give that a whirl. I downloaded the app last week. I've only played with it a little bit, but I'm excited to give that a try. I never thought to do a vignette that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And you know, to give credit, I got that tip. I used to be a NAP member, and I got that tip off of NAP years ago. It actually came straight from Scott Kelby. But actually that's probably one of the things that I've thought about doing is kind of transforming and relaying some of the stuff that I know from my desktop version of Photoshop and kind of converting or conforming it into the iPhone Photoshop Touch environment and seeing if I can't relay some of these cool things back out in the mobile environment.
Very cool.
As a person who's, and this will be a shocker, I've never used Photoshop before.
That's not a shocker. And,
well, you know, most people are, you know, Photoshop. How does this app, if you don't know Photoshop, How is this app useful, and would it be easy for somebody who's never used it to jump in to Photoshop?
I'm gonna say that if you don't have a familiarity with Adobe's Photoshop environment or another similar one like PaintShop Pro or something like that.
What about Illustrator?
Well, Illustrator is not on the same platform. Illustrator's tools are different, and actually shortcuts and everything, even on the desktop environment, are a little different anyway.
Okay.
So I'm going to say that if you don't have a familiarity with Photoshop, then you are going to have a steeper curve on this. It's not like it's not going to be possible. You're going to be able to learn your way through it. You're going to be able to do a lot of great things with it. But it's definitely going to be a steeper curve than somebody who's very familiar with the Photoshop environment.
Okay.
But I think that it's perfectly worth the investment in learning if you want to take that kind of and actually, let me backtrack for a second. I remember when we first talked about Photoshop Touch being updated for the iPhone, and it really is a great app. And I said that this could, and you probably remember me quoting this, saying that it could take the place of Snapseed for me. It's not going to happen. Because Snapseed's a completely different pony for me. That Snapseed's where I go if I want to knock out an edit really quick and get it up to Instagram or send it along via text or put it up on Facebook. Photoshop Touch is definitely something I only go there if I plan on spending a long amount of time, or not a long amount of time, but a more involved amount of time and effort into an edit, which happens more and more now that I've gotten the app. You know, since I've gotten Photoshop Touch, I have spent more and more time. I've enjoyed more and more. It's actually revitalized my mobile photography up to a point, because I was kind of getting into a little bit of a rut. And so it has given me a little bit more of a creative bounce out of that rut. So,
okay.
Anyway, anywho, let's move on. And before we move on to this week's post pick of the week, we are going to move on to image blocks. If you have been on the Tiny Shutter feed, that is hashtag Tiny Shutter on Instagram, which you should be. So Matt, what was the text I sent out Sunday morning? Sorry you weren't a part of it, Joe.
Duh.
I was drinking my coffee, I was sitting at my table, and I was skimming through the Tiny Shutter hashtag on Instagram, and I was just like, man, we got some really, really talented listeners. There is some, just some amazingly awesome stuff there. I spent, I don't know, an hour and a half commenting and liking and looking at just the awesome work on our Instagram feed.
You did, yes. You commented that there was a ton of amazing stuff in our Tiny Shutter feed, and so immediately I had to go see what you were talking about, and I ended up spending like a half hour going through it and liking photos and commenting because there was a ton of good stuff in there.
For sure, right? I was going for some reason my stupid here. Hold on a second. Tiny Shutter. I just want to answer this question for myself real quick. The Tiny Shutter hashtag just, oh my gosh, just now we're at 6,001. We just broke 6,000 images. So I'm pretty excited about that. Anyway, let me get back into what I was discussing. If you happen to peruse the Tiny Shutter hashtag, you will probably have noticed a user there called Image Blocks. And image blocks are a really cool and gorgeous way to have your image printed, then mounted on a solid block of wood. It's ultra modern and ultra cool. It's printed on metal, which is totally scratch resistant and waterproof. And then that metal, I'm assuming, and I don't know the process, I'm going to actually learn more about this process, but I'm assuming that that is then applied to the block of wood. They make amazing gifts, and they make amazing things if you want to, like, get it can hang, or it can put on your, get it put on your desk or put on your mantle. And what it says here is make those amazing portraits, family photos, or edgy image taken with the iPhone app stand out. So the folks over there, these are Image Blocks is actually out of Australia, which is kind of cool. It's cool for us. Probably not cool for anybody else, but those of us over here in America think it's cool. But if you haven't checked them out, check them out, because it's actually a really cool idea to have an image block placed on your desk or hang on the wall. And I know Mark has ordered one, and I'm interested to see what Mark's take is on it. And I am interested in getting mine ordered as quick as possible. So check them out, Image Blocks. Their ad is over on tinyshutter.com. And if Joe doesn't know the address, it is
imageblocks.com.au.
There you go. Thank you very much, Joe. And so check out Image Blocks, and you will be excited. And now we are going to move into this week's post pick of the week, brought to you by Matt Hoffman.
Yay. Yeah, so, you know, like we just mentioned, tons of great photos in the feed. But there is one. We talked about this a couple weeks ago about how, you know, we kind of end up finding images that we keep going back to look at time and time again. And this time it's no different for me. We're going back, I don't know, a little ways into the feed here, probably to Saturday or Sunday this past weekend. This is a photo that is actually a diptych, one on top of the other, and it's the same image. It's of the Great Salt Lake out in Utah, but just two different processings with the color. And the username is Brad Heitman, BradHeitmann, and I can't stop looking at this thing. Basically, you can see the lake. There's something in the foreground that maybe looks like some small buoys. And then in the background, you could see the silhouette of a mountain range out in the distance. Yeah. It's kind of got some fogginess to it. But his processing is just killer. It really honestly looks like a painting. I really don't know how else to describe it. Just really intense color in the sky. The top image has a red sky, really fiery red, like just some awesome stormy sunset. And then the bottom image, The sky is really a deep, dark blue, almost some hints of purple in there, and they just contrast each other, like, just really awesome. And this is actually something that I would love to have. So
this is like a sienna and a magenta type process, it looks like, for right.
It's very cool that, like Matt mentioned, the two colors or the two processes or whatever you want to call them, edits, they just go together like peas and carrots.
Yeah, Brad, if you want to comment on your photo on Instagram or comment on our Facebook page, I would love to know how you process this, and I'd love to know if this is for sale.
Sweet. So listen, speaking of post pick of the week, now post pick of the week is obviously included on the internet at www.tinyshutter.com. Each week we post the news and information from the show with show notes and links and you know, just the vital stuff. I mean, we don't go deep into detail. You can't read the show, but you can, if you're looking for a link, you can get it. But we also accompany each post with the post pick of the week is where you can find it. But now we have some very exciting news. We've taken it upon ourselves to do more work. And now we have the Tiny Shutter Podcast Instagram account. And I believe it is Tiny Shutter Podcast. We couldn't do just Tiny Shutter because a nice young lady has that already. But we did do Tiny... I'm going to just... Before I speak out of my... You know what? Tiny.
I'm looking at. Yep, it's that. That's it.
Podcast, right?
Yep. Okay. That's it.
So find us at Tiny Shutter Podcast on Instagram. And what we will start doing is also posting the post pick of the week there. And possibly, you know, if we have some outings or some such stuff, or if in a case where we say, you know, this is a great one too, but it, you know, whatever, but there'll be some stuff there. And you can always at sign us when you're posting your stuff up there. Oops, that was a burp. good news. Anyway, the good news is the Celtics are beating the Raptors almost as bad as the Celtics got beaten last night by the Bobcats. So anyway,
don't forget the Tiny Shutter contest.
Yeah, you know, that's Mark's baby. I don't even remember what we talked about with that. I mean, it's funny. Somebody mentioned on Facebook last week that was like the funniest part of the show. He's like, oh, there's a new contest and Keith knows nothing about it. Ha ha. I know that we're hashtagging Tiny Shutter contest, right?
That's correct.
And there's some really cool goodies from the case company there. What's their name? Come on. You brought it up, Pereira.
I can't remember.
Oh my gosh. I'm gonna go back to last week's episode and you didn't even put it in last week's episode.
No, I didn't. That's why I can't remember.
Wow. All right. So there is a contest going on. You'll have to go back to episode...
I will put it in the show notes.
45.
It'll be there when you're listening to it.
It's hashtag Tiny Shutter Contest. It's Gizmon. So Gizmon has tossed out some goodies that we are going to be giving away via the Tiny Shutter Contest hashtag. And backtracking one quick second, if you want your photo to be the Tiny Shutter post pick of the week, you have to hashtag it Tiny Shutter. And you can do that on Instagram, you can do that on Twitter, and you can do it on Facebook, but chances are we're going to pick most of them from Instagram, just because we're all hanging out there all the time anyway. But if something is amazingly awesome and picks our eyes up somewhere else, then you can get it there too. And let's move on to this week's focus points. And if nobody else is jumping at the bit, I will go first.
All right.
So my focus point this week is something that I've been meaning to tell you guys and have just been spacing it, and was just recently reminded of the fact that I wanted to use it as a focus point. And so this is a very simple and quick tip. With iOS, I believe it was 6, right? They came out with, iPhone came out with the built-in panorama, right? And, you know, it was a big joke. You know, you can do panoramas with all sorts of apps, whatnot. Well, you know, iPhone did what iPhone does. I mean, iPhone did what Apple does, and they made it very simple, very easy to use, and nice and comfortable and all that kind of stuff. But one thing you may not know is that you can also do vertical panoramas as well as horizontal panoramas. All you have to do is turn your phone horizontally, and instead of going side to side, you now go from bottom to top. And you can do this if you've got a tall building and you'd like to get the entire building in, or what I did, which, and it actually comes out extremely weird to look at, is I was actually over in Manchester, New Hampshire. We have an area where you can get under one of the bridges. And it's this huge, long, expansive bridge that you can get under. And I tried to get as close to the middle as I could. And then I did one of these vertical panoramas, starting at the horizon in front of me and then going up and back over myself to behind me. And so you get this long, weird-looking kind of panorama. I mean, and I don't know if what I'm saying is making sense, but imagine holding your hands out in front of you and arcing them up over your head and then behind you. And that's how I made the vertical panorama of the bridge that was going over my head. But anyway, the point is, and here's the quick tip, you can do vertical panoramas as well. So if you've got something tall that needs more than what you have, if you're holding the phone vertically, flip the phone horizontally, switch it over to panorama, and you can do a quick panorama. That's my tip.
My father-in-law had showed me that, and I had forgotten about it too. I had taken a picture with the Olo clip at a train museum, and it was this old lamppost. And so I shot it with the Olo clip, but he did the panoramic, and, you know, it looked, it was interesting because sometimes you get this different effect with different lighting. The light was hitting it pretty bright in the middle. And so the top part was dark, the bottom part was dark, but, you know, you can do all sorts of stuff with it.
For sure, yeah. This reminds me of a great focus point from Matt Hoffman a while back too, is just what you mentioned. You know, I had taken that picture out in Portsmouth of the end-to-end rainbow, and at the time there was no built-in panorama, and I had plenty of panorama apps, but I said to myself, you know, if I didn't have the Olo clip with me, I wouldn't have been able to get both sides of that rainbow, and totally oblivious to the fact that, of course, I could have just tossed it into one of my panorama apps, and I could have gotten the whole thing. You know, not that I don't love the Olo clip, because I absolutely adore my Olo clip, but my point is that it's, you know, great tips all around today. Anyway, that's enough talking for me.
Right on.
go ahead
all, man. Right, so I don't know if anyone knows, but right now, at least as of the recording of this podcast, there is a comet visible in the sky in the early evening. So it's called Comet Pan-STARRS, and there's also going to be a comet visible later this year that will be a little bit easier to see, and it's going to be visible for like a couple months or something. So obviously I'm pretty excited about that, because it's not like you see comets every day, and I would love to be able to get a photo of it with the iPhone. So, you know, I did a little bit of digging and tried to figure out how in the world can I make this happen. And it turns out that there are adapters that you can get to mount your iPhone to like a spotting scope or a telescope if you have one. So I was kind of looking through them, and some of them are only available for like the iPhone 4S, the 4, and the 3GS. But I did find one. It started out as a Kickstarter project. The name of the adapter is called the Magnify, which is spelled M-A-G-N-I-F-I. I don't really know how to say the name of the company that makes it. It's like Arcturus Labs. In any case.
Is anybody in the listening audience getting any sense of deja vu? It's just me.
I didn't talk about this before.
No, Mark did. Mark did a whole review on the site and everything.
Oh, he did?
And it's actually for the particular one that you're referring to. I waited to interrupt you until you said almost word for word what he said. It's hard to pronounce, but
Oh, that's a bummer.
M-A-G-I-N-I-F-I?
Magnify. M-A-G-N-I-F-I.
Okay.
It's still a great focus point because you mentioned the you're reminding everybody about Mark's great focus point.
And, exactly.
And the comment aspect of it. And what I was going to ask you is do you have any ideas on sources where people can get more information about the comets?
If you Google comet pan stars, you'll find like all the information in the world on it, on like where to look in the sky, the times. It'll show you basically during the course of the next week or so that it'll be visible. It'll show you like where in the sky to look each day. So just Google it. Pretty much any link that pops up in like the first 10 results is going to give you everything you need to know.
Excelente. Thank you, my friend.
Apparently, space.com has something on it.
Space.com.
But yeah, in any case, if you're interested in doing that kind of thing, or it doesn't even have to be that, like wildlife photography. If you have a spotting scope and you like taking pictures of birds or anything like that, this is a pretty handy device.
I want to try one because I think we definitely talked about it a while back with the guy that did the iPhone photography at the Olympics was using something similar and a pair of binoculars.
That is cool.
Ooh.
Yeah. So there we go. Hey, Ferreira, how about you?
All right. Well, I'm going to go back to an oldie but goodie, Snapseed.
Yes.
But I'm going to... The conversation we had on Facebook really got me thinking. And, you know, I tell people all the time, go download Snapseed. Best app you'll ever use, and you'll keep using it. Unless you're Keith and you're going with the Photoshop Touch. I sometimes think, okay, I just told somebody to go do it, but they'll probably download it and they'll probably never use it. So my challenge is for this week, if you have it and you've never used it, open it up, take a picture, and use one of the features. Start with, start with the adjust and work your way down. Each day, just do one feature and play with your photos and see what it does. That way you become very familiar with the app. And then after you've gone through all of them, start to use two at a time. Just destroy photos. Destroy them, go back, and just, you know, you take it to its limit and then go back. And just get familiar with, what it does and then start to combine them. And pretty soon you'll know exactly what you want to use and what you don't want to use and become familiar with this pretty powerful app.
That's a great tip. Very, very good tip. I like the idea of destroying the picture. because there's another smaller tip that says, you know, go back, go to the point where it's too much and then reel it back a little
bit.
Scale
it back.
Yeah. Very cool. All right, folks. Well, that completes this week's episode. While Joe was telling us about his very awesome focus point, I just looked into the calendar and it's true. The Celtics will be playing the Hornets next Wednesday. So for your sake, maybe I'll just take next Wednesday off so you don't have to listen to me babble about it. And for those of you who that irritates, I'm not really sorry. thanks for tuning in, though, guys. We've been getting a ton of great feedback. I love the stamina and the legs that the show is getting right now. Just leaps and bounds every single week. We're just getting more and more traction and feedback and downloads and all of that. It's awesome. So do me a favor. I don't ask this that much. Tell your friends about us. If you have friends that are on that are into iPhone photography, or you know of other people, or if you're into a photo group or any of those kinds of things, just share the podcast once or twice every now and then, and let them know that you enjoy it. And as always, as as what's his name says at the end of the show. Give us the good reviews over on iTunes, and definitely head over to facebook.com and join in our conversations. We're a growing community there. We're close to 200 likes now. We're all four of us are active in there as much as possible, with posts on free app alerts, cute little info, just really cool stuff, funny stuff sometimes, and so get over there. Anyway, links and information from today's show will be over at tinyshutter.com. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out our sponsors, Image Blocks, and the iPhone photography course. And
Camera Course app.
Camera Course app. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week. Oh, wait, you know what I got to do is I got to tell everybody that you should check us out on at Tiny Shutter Podcast on Instagram, as well as Tiny Shutter Podcast on Twitter. And then I need to ask you guys where people can find out about you.
Well, people can find me on Instagram and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
And Ferreira.
And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira.
And you can find me at Instagram. Oh, what is my name? Oh, yeah, Keith_Tharp. And it just occurred to me as we were going through this that I believe, if I am not mistaken, that I need to get my button gear and add Joseph Ferreira to the crew page on the tinyshutter.com, so that that way, if you just missed hearing where you could find out about him, you could always go to the tinyshutter.com/crew and get all the information as well as everything else you ever need to know. It's all there. You should do it right now. TinyShutter.com. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye bye.
Sweet. That was a good show, guys.
Great. Yeah, good.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back for another fun-filled, exciting episode of the Tiny Shutter Podcast. I am Keith Tharp. And nobody else is
I'm
with
Joseph
me today.
Joseph Ferreira.
Hey.
Hey, there he is.
Can you hear me?
Man, I still can't hear you.
The new
I gotta try connecting with my computer.
Sucks.
Give me about 2 minutes.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.